praise you this morning. We're going to exalt your name as a body of Christ. Lord, we've been worshiping you in spirit, and Father, we love to enter into your presence. And Lord, now we're going to pray and enter into your word, Father, and learn of you and testimonies, and Father, talking about your Holy Spirit and the work that you have done through him, what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we're encouraged in faith, Lord, encouraged in our walk with you, encouraged to walk in the Spirit, encouraged to stand strong even when all the things are going on around us, Lord, that we can still rise up because of you and your Holy Spirit. You're playing through him, Lord. We praise you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do we have any history buffs in the room? A couple? Your mom's pointing at you, by the way. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you know a little bit about history, in American history in particular, you know that one of the founding fathers was a guy named Patrick Henry. Okay, he was instrumental in the fight for the freedom of Virginia, the independence of Virginia, that kind of part of our world or part of our history that became known as the American Revolution. Okay, he was an avid politician. He was one of those guys that became the first governor then of Virginia, and then a few years later, I think he was like the sixth governor or something again. Later on, he was still served again. And all this stuff took place back, of course, in the 1700s, so a long time ago. Okay, but along with the likes of men like Samuel Adams, which some of you may have heard of, or Thomas Paine, he was considered to be one of the most influential men in the history of our nation. Okay, for many historians and even non-historians alike, he is remembered for a very famous quote that he gave in a speech when he said, "I know not what others may choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Okay. Amen. Yeah, Chris is a history buff. Amen. Amen. So he said, "I know not what others may choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Okay, he was known as a man just like many of us that truly valued his freedom. Okay, freedom from the bondage of an oppressor, freedom from that oppression, and then the liberty or the freedom to live out the life that God had called him to. He was a man that stood up for that and said, "This is what I know that God has made possible for us. This is what I want to walk in." Anything less in Mr. Henry's eyes was seen as fallen short in his God-given right for a full and happy life, to live in the fullness of God. Okay? He motivated others to not settle for less than the fullness that God had to give, the fullness of life. And I'm bringing him up today as part of our little history lesson, talking about Patrick Henry, because he was compelled to inspire other people to overcome oppression. He said, "Don't settle for it. Don't allow that oppression to just keep you down, but strive and press to go beyond that." And I too sincerely hope as a pastor to inspire you to excel in your Christian faith. Okay, not to succumb to the mundane or the complacent apathy that has gripped so many Christians. It's easy to get into that pattern where, this was just all the better it can get. It'll never get better than this. And we just kind of settle in that, and we live with kind of a despair, kind of a hopelessness all the time. Knowing the Holy Spirit of God, which we're going to talk about today, knowing the Holy Spirit of God and living and walking in and according to the Spirit is the key to thoroughly experiencing the freedom that God wants you to walk in. It is freedom from condemnation, freedom from oppression, that kind of heaviness. It is freedom from sin. It is freedom so that you can do all the things that God has made possible for you. Okay, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. He spoke about Jesus. He spoke of the Deliverer as the one that would be anointed to preach good tidings. Okay, anointed to preach good things, encouraging words. He was anointed to do that. He said he was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, those that have been through it, like all of us. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to proclaim liberty and freedom to those who were captive. all through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, he said, I am anointed by the Holy Spirit to do these things. Jesus then, well, let's read what Isaiah said. This is Isaiah prophesying first in Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up or to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty and freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Okay, when Jesus himself spoke openly, one of his first sermons, you could call it, in a synagogue, when he first spoke openly about himself, this was the very scripture that he quoted about himself. He says that it is because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon him that he is able to set people free from the bondage and oppressions of their captors. So in life today, what is some of that bondage or some of that heaviness or some of those oppressive prisons that people live in? Okay, we may not all be in a whatever 8x8 cell, but there are prisons that people live in, prisons of fear, prisons of depression, prisons of anxieties, prisons of anger, prisons of things like that. In real life, some of the bondage that the Holy Spirit can set us free from may be things like a heaviness of heart or a depression that we can't seem to shake off. Okay, when that fear of man or that fear of the unknown is constantly hanging over your head, always afraid to kind of step out to be more of who you are, not being willing to step out and do those things because of that little bit of fear that kind of keeps us bound up. Okay, that's an oppression that hangs over your head like a dark cloud. Okay, it squelches your joy. It causes you to feel hopeless and desperate, like in despair. Okay, another real life bondage the Holy Spirit can set you free from may be an addiction. Okay, maybe something that has held you in its grip for many years. Okay, and you've just kind of succumbed to it. You've given in to it, thinking that, well, it's just a physical addiction. You know, maybe someday I'll muster up enough strength to overcome it. But the reality is that there is a spirit of addiction that is associated and attached with that. That spirit of addiction is at the root of that sort of bondage, and it must be cast out. It must be addressed by the Holy Spirit of God in order for you to be set free from it. Maybe some of the bondages might be some sort of a temperament, something that has kind of plagued you for many years, you know, throughout your life, and it's caused you grief over and over again. Something like a short temper. Okay, where we blow up at the smallest thing, and oh man, now I have to go and apologize. Now I made a mess of things. It's something that causes you repeated grief. It might be a tendency to gossip, or perversion, or that desire to look at the opposite sex in a lustful way, or to look at pornography, or whatever it is. You know better than to actively engage in a lot of these sorts of behaviors, but it seems like something just kind of comes over you. Okay, it just kind of gets a hold of you, and then all of a sudden, you're mad at the world. Okay, you're going to pick a verbal fight with anybody that comes within earshot, right? Because you're just mad. You know, you don't even know what you're mad about. What are you upset about? I don't know. I'm just mad. You know, and it's there. There's something, and there's a spirit associated with that. Maybe it's that you just feel compelled that you have to call someone. You have to start up a conversation with someone so you can share about that hot topic that you know about a mutual acquaintance. You know, somebody that you both know. You know that you probably shouldn't do that, but you just feel like you have to tell somebody. You can't just keep what you know to yourself. Okay, people think it's sometimes just a flaw in their personality. They think, well, that's just the way I am. Okay, they think maybe it's a weakness that they have no chance of strengthening. And they fail to realize that there is a spiritual force at work behind the scenes that will literally come on people. If you read your Bible, you'll see that. It's in there throughout Old Testament and New Testament where a spirit would come on someone. It would cause their behavior to change. Now, I'm not saying we're going to, blame the devil for every little thing that we do, because sometimes we're making choices, right? God gave us that. But there are times when it will come on you and you don't know what it is. You can't explain it. You don't know where it came from. But it's got a hold of you and it's like compelling you to do something that you know that you shouldn't do. It's something that is not, you know that it's not of God. And it's literally a spirit that is behind it that causes you to stumble. It's trying to throw something into your path. What is the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Okay, and that's you. Anything of God and you and your life, he doesn't like you. He doesn't want to encourage you or to help you in any way. He wants to cause you to stumble. The Bible reminds us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Okay, sometimes we think it's just me. Now, we're talking about the spirit versus flesh. Okay, we started that last week. So think of it in that term, that we wrestle not with flesh and with blood as much as we do with the spiritual realm that's behind it. Look at Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay, and then he goes on to describe the armor of God that we put on, our faith and our shield and our sword and our helmet of salvation and breastplate of righteousness. God has given us all these weapons to fight with. But in order to battle in, and in order to have victory in this unseen realm, okay, you guys getting that? Are we catching that? That sometimes things are not just what you see on the surface. There's a spiritual force going on all the time in our life, every moment of every day, and things that don't just happen for no reason. Okay, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God has a plan and that we're going through it, not in like a predestined kind of way. I don't get into that. But in a sense that everything that happens has a force behind it. Okay, God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. Okay, from the very beginning, God has been speaking to a spiritual realm and into the Spirit, and the Spirit then makes things happen. So there's this spiritual realm that goes on behind the scenes. Okay, but in order to battle in that unseen realm, in order to have victory in that unseen realm against the forces that are against us, wouldn't it make sense that we would want to enlist the help of the most powerful unseen force ever? Okay, and that is the Holy Spirit. That is what God has given us. He has offered it to us. He has offered the Holy Spirit to us to come on us, to be in us, to go through us, and to allow for us to walk in success. You know, when Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, okay, this is the exact power that he was referring to. He said, "You'll be endued with a power. You're going to get a power for witnessing. You're going to get a power for walking in my way that is above anything that you've seen or experienced so far." In Luke 24:49, Luke said, he's quoting Jesus, he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He told them, in other words, that this power of the Holy Spirit is coming. In another place, he refers to him as the Comforter. He refers to him as the greatest power. I'm not quoting it very well, but Luke later on continues this same thought, the same premise. If you know your Bible a little bit, you know Luke wrote Acts, right? The Acts of the Apostles. Okay, so this is at the end of Luke's book, and he's saying, Jesus told us to wait until we were endued from power from on high, and to go into Jerusalem and to wait for it. And then as Luke writes in the book of Acts, he begins writing, some of the first things he writes about is this experience that they waited for and how it came upon them. Look in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses of that, it says, "When on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were waiting there in the upper room, waiting for this power to come on them that Jesus said was coming. And in verse 2 it says, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay, now this is one experience, and this I'm going to share a little bit on. I know that speaking in tongues and that kind of stuff is kind of crazy, out there, scary, whatever, for a lot of people. But I'm going to explain it a little bit, so hopefully she understand it. In this very instance that it gave them, so they spoke with other tongues, they were hearing their neighbor speak in their language. It'd be like if we had someone that speaks fluent Spanish, not fluent Flanish, but fluent Spanish or Russian or some other language, and we heard them say a sentence in their language, and I understood it perfectly. That's what happened right here. Later on, they speak in an unknown tongue or speak out in a spiritual realm. They speak into the spirit. My guy that led me to Christ, Reg, used to talk to me, and as I asked him about praying in tongues and speaking in tongues and that kind of stuff, he explained it like a spiritual language that is a direct communication between you and God that the devils can't interfere with. You know, that not even Satan himself can interfere with that, because it's a spiritual language that is a direct link between me and God. It is something that as I speak out that Yorah Shambodi Yorah Kabah, and I speak that out, that it goes directly unto God. He heard, he knows, he understood, and he begins to put things in motion in the spiritual realm that we live in, okay? And that comes later on. We may get into that during the series. We'll see. So speaking in tongues, though, is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit we talked about last week. Okay, you remember that? Galatians talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and Corinthians talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is the gift of speaking in tongues. Another one was the interpretation of tongues. Another one is the gift of prophecy, or the working of miracles, of healings, of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Those are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here we see speaking in tongues that came on them as the Holy Spirit endued them with power. Okay, it was one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we read about last week. Mark quoted Jesus as saying it was one of the signs that would follow them that believe. If you remember, I don't have that scripture, but Mark 16:15 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues." Right? It's part of what he said, "In my name, these signs would follow them that believe on Jesus." Luke said that the supernatural power that was being sent to us from the Father, he said, remember we read in Luke 24, he said, "This is what Jesus said, that you're going to be endued with the power." Okay, then we read here that it's not just being sent, but now he waited in expectancy for that power to come on him. And then what happened? It came, and he received on that. Okay, so when the Holy Spirit filled the room, yeah, this is the same verse in verse 2, "And there suddenly came a rushing sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house when they were sitting," where they were sitting at. Okay, as this happened, when the Holy Spirit filled the room and he began to manifest himself, the Holy Spirit shows up, and all of a sudden they start speaking in other tongues. They're hearing what these guys are saying. Spirits of prophecy began to speak through people. The miraculous started to happen around them. People got healed. All these things began to happen. It didn't freak Luke out. If you get that, he was waiting for it. He said, "Jesus said this is going to come. Now it came." He said to go and wait till it come. We went, we're waited, now it came. So he didn't freak out about it. It wasn't out of the norm for him. This is what Jesus said was coming and what he thought was going to happen. So when all the miracles and the signs and wonders began to happen, he is not dumbfounded by it. He was told it was coming. He was expecting it to come. And then when it did, he did not resist it. Okay? He didn't say, "I know that Jesus was going to send us the power that we need, but I don't think I'm going to receive it when it comes." He didn't say that. He was ready, and you know, Jesus said this is going to happen. So when it came, now he's ready to receive it. Okay? He didn't say, "You know what? That I know that this is what Jesus said was coming, but it's a little far out there for me. Okay? It's a little out in left field. I don't think I really want to experience that power like Jesus wanted to give me." He didn't resist it. He didn't say that, "Well, you know, I guess this is that power, but it must just be for those guys over there, because that's a little far out there for me." You know, he didn't say that. He didn't resist against it. Okay? He didn't say that this must just be for certain people or a certain time period, which is the way that it's explained away today. People say, "Oh, that was just in Bible time. That was just in the book of Acts." Okay? But it doesn't say that if you continue reading your Bible. So living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is a purposeful, intentional part of God's plan for the redemption and deliverance of mankind. Okay, it's a way that we are delivered. This power comes on us. You want to be an effective witness, allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you. There is no greater witness than the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, no greater way to witness to somebody. Okay, so this is intentional. It was God's plan for the redemption and deliverance of mankind, to deliver us from the bondages that the devil has plagued us with. So things like oppression, things like that depression, things like that anger, things like that addiction, the power has been given for freedom from that. Okay, and when we quit resisting that, then we receive that and it begins to flow and we begin to see more and more of it happening in our life. Shortly after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on mankind that we got to see right here, we just read about it, Peter stands up and he addresses the people because they're kind of marveling at it. They're kind of watching it from a distance and they're seeing the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And he stands up and he says, these people aren't crazy. These people aren't drunk. These people aren't mad. You know, they were saying, oh, these guys are mad. They're drunk. And he said, they're not. He said, this is what God told us was coming. Okay? He just explained it that simply. They're not crazy. This is what Jesus said was coming. And it's here. Okay? That was the way he explained it. Read it a few verses later, Acts 2:14. It says, Peter standing up with the 11, he lifts up his voice and he says unto them, you men of Judea and all, and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, Joel had prophesied that this was going to be coming, and this is that. Joel said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit, capital S, okay, the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh, not upon one or another, not upon some in this time period, but not in 2017, he said, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, okay, upon all. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they too shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. This is part of what his plan was, that we would still be able to walk in that same kind of power today on the earth in today's day and age. Some people look at the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, okay, as being kind of far removed from them. That's out there. That's for somebody else. That's not for me and for my life. But the river of God is flowing in front of those people. Okay, the Holy Spirit is flowing right there, and they're just watching it from the shore. Kind of like a spectator, if you've ever seen boat races, okay, where they'll put them out on a lake or in the river, and they'll race them by, but they're just sitting up in the stands. They really, even though God wants them to be a boat racer, they have no intention of ever getting off of the stands and to go into to get in the water, to get in a boat. They're just watching it as a spectator. Okay. Other people are testing the water a little bit. Like they're kind of dipping their foot in. Maybe they're going to wade in the river of God a little bit. Just kind of step in and dip their toes into it. But they're afraid to give up control. Okay. Afraid to give up what they know. Afraid to give up what they're comfortable with and really get into that river. Remember we talked last week about picking your feet up off the bottom and going with the flow of God. You're going to go with the river wherever he takes you. That's how we allow him to flow right through us. Okay, so some people are not going to give up that control. They're afraid of the unknown, and they're afraid of what might be in the deeper waters. It reminds me of when I was a missionary in South America. I did a short term down there, and we went to different churches, and we ministered, and then as part of it, we decided to take kind of a fun day, kind of something different. And so the number one recreation, or what do you call it, touristy thing you can do in Guyana is to go see the Kaichir Falls. Okay, now the Kaichir Falls are the second largest waterfall in the world, 793 feet. It's a massive site. I've got a picture of myself sitting, I think it's in the office back here, sitting on the rim of it, sitting right there as the water's rushing by next to me and somebody took my picture. It's a neat picture, and maybe someday I'll show that. But that's the Kaichir Falls, 793 feet. We landed on a little airplane in the middle of the Amazon. Then there was five of us along with the pilot. We flew in another 100 miles deeper into the Amazon. And there was another place called the Orinduck Falls. Okay, and this was a place, it was 100 degrees out, 98% humidity. I mean, it was hot, okay, in the middle of the jungle. So we fly into another place where you can land on a little dirt track, and there's some of the indigenous people there. But there's also a kind of a touristy site called the Orinduck Falls, and it is a place where you can actually get in the water and swim. Okay, and that's why we flew in there, so we could go for a little bit of a swim. Okay, but one of the local folks that went with us, let me give you the whole story. It was myself and my pastor. It was Gary Hammer and Lee Hash. Those were the four from our church. We all four went. And then there was a local gal, I think her name was Emu, from Guyana. And she went with us to this. Well, when we got to the place where you could go swimming, Emu did not want to go into the river. She didn't want to go into where the falls were and the swimming and all that stuff. She did not want to go in there. Number one reason was because she was afraid of being swept downstream. She was afraid of what might be in that water a little bit deeper. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit apprehensive too at first. I mean, you're in the middle of the Amazon jungle, and I had seen a movie about piranhas in the middle of a river in the Amazon. And so my thought is, I'm not going in that water. There could be piranhas in there. So rather than just allow that, I went to the pilot, who was a local guy, and I said, "Is there piranhas in there? Because I saw a movie back in my BC days about piranhas in the Amazon." And the guy just kind of laughed at me a little bit. And he says with his local Guyana accent, he says, no piranhas. No piranhas in there. He said, "A few other kinds of fish, but they will not hurt you." He said, "I've been in there many times, and it will not harm you. It is safe." Okay. And then that was all I needed to know. Right? That was all I needed to know. It was all the reassurance that I needed, okay, to have somebody local that had been in it before tell me that there's no piranhas, you can get in there, it's going to be okay. So my friend and I decided, let's get in. So we jumped into the river, we splashed around and played in the, you know, underneath the waterfalls, and I'll show you a picture here in a minute, but there's a place you could actually kind of slide down them, like a water slide kind of thing. And we played around, and we actually decided, let's swim all the way across the river, because on the other side, the pilot told us, was Brazil. And so we decided, let's swim across the river so we can say we've been to Brazil. Okay, and so we actually did. We grabbed a handful of pebbles on the bank on the other side, stuck them in the pockets of our swimming suits, and then we swam back. So we now had something from Brazil that we could show when we got back. I think I have a picture of that, or a couple pictures. Here's one. This is the not the 793 foot. This is Orinduck Falls, where we went to, and this is where you could jump in and you could actually play. You could go and you could sit right underneath and allow this water to splash over you. It was kind of a fun place. I think I have another picture. Yeah, and this is not actually me, but this is kind of where we were and what you did. You would get into it, and we actually got down, and we went with the flow. Somebody taught me, I don't know if you guys knew this, but if you're into scuba diving or anything like that, I had a good friend who was a scuba diver. He said, if you ever get into something like that, said, just go with the flow. Because if you resist against it, you're going to get smacked on a rock. But if you go with the flow, it'll skim you right over the rocks. And so you just flowed right over it. So that's what we did. We actually got in up on the top of that, went down into the stuff, and flowed down the river a little bit, and then swam across to Brazil. So this is where we're at. So as we're in there playing around, this is where I had asked the pilot, you remember the story now, one gal didn't want to go into the water. She was afraid of being swept downstream, afraid of what was in the deeper parts of the water. I didn't want to get in at first because I had some perceived fears. I thought maybe there was piranhas in there, and I didn't want to go get my feet eaten off or something, right? Okay. But after I talked to somebody that had been there, after I talked to somebody who had been in the river and told me, no, it's safe. There's other bumps along the way. There's other things in there, little fish. I remember kicking fish with my feet and stuff when we're out there swimming around. But nothing hurt me. It wasn't harmful in any way. Okay. Well, that river of God and the full submersion in the Holy Spirit of picking your feet up and going with the flow is kind of like that. It's kind of like this situation. That's why I show you this. There are those that are being afraid of being swept downstream, so they're going to stay on the bank and miss out on all the fun. Okay, while we were in there doing this, playing around for an hour, however long we were there, Emu sat on the shore, okay, and just tried to find a place in the shade to try to be cool because we were out there playing and having a good time and, you know, the time of our life, and she didn't want to get into that because she was afraid of the unknown, afraid of kind of the deep parts of the river. Okay, other people were hesitant because of their perceived fears of getting in the river of God and flowing with Him. They've heard stories and they're kind of afraid of the unknown parts, kind of afraid of the deep parts of that river. But my hope is that you'll see me as that local pilot, okay, that will give you that reassurance. I've been walking in the power of the Holy Spirit for over 20 years. Right after I gave my life to Christ, I said, there's more. I want that too. I want the whole package. And so I said, if there's more, then I want that. And I want the baptism. I want to step in. I want to flow with the flow of God in whatever and every capacity that is available. Okay, so I've been in over my head in the river of God for more than 20 years, and the manifestations and the gifts of the Holy Spirit have never let me down. They have never disappointed me. They have never, you know, harmed me in any way possible. They have only intensified my relationship with God, and they have intensified the realness of God. You want to know if God is real? If God is real? Pray for a miracle. You want to know if God can do something that cannot be done? Pray and talk to God about it in the Spirit. Let Him lead and guide you what to say and how to do it. Allow those things to be done through your life. Okay? When God gives me like a word of knowledge, okay, that I know something, there's no possible way I could know what's going on in somebody's life or something's going to happen at work or somebody is going to come into my life or say something. When God gives me that kind of a word of knowledge and it happens, there's no greater thing in the world to me. I understand that God has my back. God knows everything and He'll share as much of that with me as I'm willing to let Him do. If God wants to speak a word of prophecy and to speak unto the body of Christ a particular message at a particular time and to speak something as kind of a voice of God, that's what prophecy is. We'll go through the gifts maybe at some other day to explain what some of them are in more detail. But when those kinds of things happen, God wants to use my hands to heal and to lay hands on somebody and see them healed. I've seen broken arms healed. I've seen eyes restored. I've seen people that were seriously injured that are no longer, okay? Regina's testimony. Yeah, Regina's shoulder, another good example. Okay, those are real powerful things. And when I see that, I can't deny God. I'm not going to give the credit to anybody or anywhere else. My relationship with God just went to a new level because now I know God can do that. God can do anything. God can do all kinds of things. Okay, I learn more and I trust and I rely on Him more than anything. My God can do anything, and I am confident that He can do all things through me if I let Him do those things. Okay, and I can do all things through Him because He strengthens me. Okay, He wanted for me to have this power in my life. He wanted for the Holy Ghost to come unto me. He said He was going to send it, then He did. And all I did was receive of that. And He wants for you to have and to live in that same power too. It's for you as well. The manifestation of the Spirit, the Bible said, we read last week, is given to every man to profit with. It's given for our benefit. Okay, the Holy Ghost power is what sets you free to live in the Spirit. The Bible says that God is a spirit. The Bible says that we worship Him in the Spirit. It says that we should pray in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, therefore let us walk in the Spirit. Let us enter in and be in that realm and understand what is going on around us. Okay, as I close this out, the Apostle Paul reminded us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Okay, that's the freedom that you desire, that freedom from that oppression, freedom from that anger, freedom from that lust, or whatever it is. The key is in the Holy Spirit and His power. He holds that power to set you free. Okay, in the Spirit, we know our Savior intimately. Okay, if God is a Spirit and we get into the Spirit and we understand Him in that capacity, we begin to see Him more intimately. It is in the Spirit, the Bible says, that we live and move and have our being. It is in the Spirit that the strength that we need to endure comes from. And it's by following the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit that we're led out of harm's way, that we're led into the right way. Some of you have said many times that old prayer that's been out there. It's actually just scripture that people are quoting, but it says, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." When you speak that out, it is the Holy Spirit that causes that to come to pass. He's the one that gets that done and accomplishes and makes those kind of things happen. He carries out that request. The Holy Spirit has gotten such a bad rap over the years. He's really been put down and kind of talked down on, and old denominations, even to this day, are doing the same thing. They bash on him and put him down. That, oh, you don't need him today. Oh, that was for then. It's not for today. They really have got a focus that he is not right, that he is bad, that he is kind of scary and frightening. And, you know, he's out there in left field or whatever. And they've kind of associated him with nutty people and blamed him for the wackiness of some men and women. It's kind of like how they blame a gun when somebody gets hurt by a gun, but the gun didn't pull the trigger by itself, right? I mean, somebody had to be there and be a part of that, and that's what happens when the Holy Spirit is used inappropriately. It can be made to look like something that God didn't intend it for, like handling snakes, okay? You guys have heard that. It's one of the scriptures in Mark 16, and that people talk about being able to pick up deadly snakes and it won't hurt them. And so some wacky people, thinking they're walking in the Spirit, pick up snakes and they get bit by snakes. I watched some guy get bit by a rattlesnake thinking he wasn't going to get hurt, and he'd go to the hospital. I mean, how much glory did God get out of that? Okay, the Holy Spirit, if used appropriately, is extremely powerful, beneficial, fruitful. All the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the edification, building up of the body of Christ, all that can happen through the Holy Spirit when we walk in Him appropriately. We use what He has given us. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not wacky. He is a gift from our Father that He said He was going to give, then He gave to us to help us to walk out our walk with Him on earth. The Holy Spirit is who empowers us to live and to walk in the Spirit. Okay, He intercedes with God on our behalf. And we'll probably talk more on that next week. He is an essential tool that brings power for witnessing. He brings freedom from bondage. And He brings intimacy with God. Okay, Holy Spirit, God is a Spirit. We worship Him in the Spirit. We can pray in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Okay, get that into you, that we live in a spiritual realm and your flesh and blood is in it, but we live in a spiritual realm that was created by a Spirit. God is a Spirit. He spoke and another Spirit brought it to pass. Okay, we're going to enter into that. It's not goofiness. It's just getting into the Bible. It's getting into what God says. And there's so many scriptures that we'll go through in the next few days. Amen. Father, I want to praise You. Thank You for the giftings. Thank You for what You have given unto us, Lord, that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we just, all we have to do is openly ask, Lord. We just receive all that You have for us and all that You wanted to give us, Lord. I pray for each and every person in here that if we haven't yet yielded ourselves to You and said, Lord, I want to go with You in all the way capacity, in every way possible. I want to get in that river and flow with wherever You want to go. I pray that if today's that day for you, just speak it in your heart. Raise your hand to the Lord. Shout it out. Do whatever you want to do, but make it real to you that God is a Spirit and He is calling you to walk in the spiritual realm, to enter in beyond the human reasoning of your mind, to go beyond that into the spiritual realm where God is, so that He may continue to do good things and flow through your life. Father, we praise You and thank You this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for showing us more about You today. I pray that we're encouraged to stand strong in our faith towards You, Lord, trusting in You because You will never lead us astray. You will never harm us or do anything against us, Lord. You're always on our side. It is Your good pleasure to give us Your kingdom. And Father, we openly receive that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.